Here we go.
Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love.
This is another Dolphins podcast.
Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of another Dolphins podcast. Week 16 has arrived. Three games are left in the regular season, and we are about to find out. The last 14 games don't matter. Dallas Cowboys, Miami Dolphins, a lot on the line. I can't do this preview podcast alone. Joshua Houts and Kat, you can find him on Twitter at BrianKatNFL. Gentlemen, welcome to the Jimmy Timmy Power Hour. How we doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me here, and I'm glad we could do it the week after a win, and you know, to replace the anger I had last week.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said before we came on the podcast, I just want to thank you for always coming on here and doing these pods, for everything we hope you do once the draft season comes around, because we're definitely hoping to rely on you. But it is just awesome to be able to come on here when both teams are, what, 10-4? The Dolphins are playing meaningful football. Again, on December 24th, they'll be playing a meaningful football game. It's just a whole different era of Dolphins football, and I'm glad to be able to come on here and be able to talk with you two about it, because this is an epic game. I saw someone on Twitter say, is this the most important Dolphins game in the last 20-plus years? And you guys tell me, it's got to be up there, right?
Interesting.
Stretch of games. Sorry, stretch of games, they said. Are these the most important stretch games in the last 20 years? That's a whole different story. My bad.
Oh, I really like that, because there's a checklist here, right? Like, every week, so much can happen for this team. And I was listening to a Dallas Cowboys podcast getting ready for the show, and it's pretty interesting because the Cowboys are looking at the Dolphins and thinking, or at least the fan base, this Dolphins team is looking at that Baltimore game. That's what's important for them. So to me, the fact that they're not kind of realizing that, hey, the Dolphins have so much that they can accomplish each week here is pretty interesting. Kat, I'll let you take the lead on this one.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Cowboys game here. This, a win for the Dolphins this week, gets you a playoff spot. I mean, they're probably going to have a playoff spot anyway. If they lost all three of their last games, they'd have over a 90% chance to make the playoffs. But this weekend, you win a playoff spot. The following weekend, you win the division. And then the week after that, you're number one seed in the AFC. I mean, this is right exactly where the Dolphins wanted to be here. And, you know, beating the Jets last week and dominating them went a long way to making that happen.
Yeah, and I feel like sorry, I was just going to say, it's crazy that, you know, Cowboys fans are sitting here thinking that we're overlooking them, because, I mean, you look at what we did to them the last few times. I mean, they've won four of the last five meetings. I think the last time the Dolphins played them was in 2019, and it was Josh Rosen and Preston Williams. I had to make sure I brought that up. But for the Dolphins, they don't realize that this is you know, these are the Miami Dolphins. To us, this game scares us a little bit. We want to make sure we take care of business, you know, win a playoff spot, then we lock up the AFC East, hopefully, then maybe even the AFC. But we're trying to hopefully take it one game at a time. And this Cowboys team, again, we're not overlooking them. It's awesome that other fan bases feel that we're this juggernaut that's just going to roll through them onto the Baltimore Ravens, because we're all just sitting back here like on pins and needles, biting our fingernails.
I was just going to say, I love the holidays, because you have to kind of have a calendar for the schedule this weekend, right? You have the Saturday games, where we're going to be keeping an eye on the likes of, who is it? Buffalo. Buffalo's on Saturday, correct? Am I mistaken?
Yeah, you got that right.
And then on what was it? Sunday, you obviously have the Sunday NFL slate. And then Monday on Christmas, what? Baltimore and San Francisco, another game that means so much for the end of the season here. And to bring it back, Josh, yes, I think this is the most important stretch for the Miami Dolphins, because I still remember going over, whether it be an aunt's house, a family member's house, and trying to think on Christmas Day, all these formulas about how the Dolphins can make the playoffs if Pittsburgh loses in week 17, and if the Dolphins can beat the Jets, yada, yada, yada. Never once were we talking about a possible shot at the number one seed. I think that right there tells you everything you need to know, that there is a huge opportunity here. Kat, you have probably a sheet there that's longer than Santa's list, just kind of going through all these different scenarios here. What would it look like if the Dolphins won this week and lost next week? Is there any shot of the one seed if the Ravens also lost this week, or would that go out the door?
Yeah, if the Dolphins won, actually, if the and Ravens both lost this week, and then the Dolphins beat the Ravens, their odds of getting the number one seed. I've got it on my other, somewhere in my other pile over there, 35-40%. So yeah, it would be, I mean, definitely not the end of the world here if the Dolphins were to lose to the Cowboys. But, you know, when you look at this, look, it's been a long time since the Dolphins have definitively beaten a quality opponent. It's been September of last year. That's not to say they can't do it. It's not to say that they're not one of the best teams in the league. But this is something that would quiet all of that talk if the Dolphins went 11-4, clinched a playoff spot, and were one victory away from being in the driver's seat for the AFC.
And also, before we start to dive into this game, just to kind of keep track of what's happening around the league, Buffalo is facing the Chargers. And guys, we heard Keenan Allen will not be playing for the Chargers. But the Buffalo Bills themselves are dealing with a couple injuries. Jordan Phillips, former Miami Dolphin, was just placed on injured reserve. I think Micah Hyde is questionable for the game. So I'd like to get your guys' thought. Is there any chance we could get a little early Christmas present here from the Chargers? Because late in the season, I know that they are dealing with a boatload of injuries. You don't have your star quarterback. But, I mean, this is also a Buffalo team that's lost to Mac Jones, that's lost to Zach Wilson. And I think the Bills are also still the scariest team. I'll say that. I don't think we can just give them a pass where they could have a week where, oh, we had a couple of those silly mistakes, shot ourselves in the foot, because they've done that a few times now.
I mean, I can't see it happening, right? I mean, Easton Stick going out there and beating the Buffalo Bills with everything they have been playing for. I mean, I think Tyler Dunn kind of dropped a nuke. I was kind of really excited when he dropped that and, you know, just, you know, it was trying to rip, I guess, the Buffalo Bills apart from the inside out. But I think it kind of motivated him a little bit. So, yeah, I can't see them ending up the Chargers pulling off an upset. But it's the NFL, right, Jake? I mean, we lost to you know, we lost a few weeks ago in a game where we thought we'd win, and teams do it every week, so I can't see it happening, but never say never. That'd be the perfect Christmas present, though, heading into the weekend.
Be so antsy for that night, seeing if the Bills could somehow lose that game, because, you know, if the Bills were to somehow lose to the Chargers, the Dolphins might find a way to Dolphin it up and then lose themselves as well.
Well, Easton Stick is, you know, PFF put it best on their podcast. He is the light version of Justin Herbert in every single way. You know, he's 6'4", 220 plus, you know, physically a talented quarterback, but, you know, basically does everything a little bit worse than what Justin Herbert does. So a breakout performance by him is the only shot. But then again, you know, even though the Bills right now are looking like one of the top three, four best teams in the NFL, maybe they fall back into that old funk again, like they had earlier in the year, where they, you know, the Giants almost beat them in Buffalo, or, you know, when Denver beat them 22-21 in primetime. So hopefully something like that happens again. But other than that, nah, I think the Bills are pretty hot, and they're going to be a problem here for the rest of the year.
Oh, the Jaws music is definitely there. I'm just praying that somehow the Chargers can get like that Antonio Pierce, like interim head coach type bump, just to maybe put a little breath into a very depressing season for them. The Baltimore game, should we really be worried about that too much? Do you guys think San Francisco, obviously, I think they're, in terms of DVOA, the best team the third best team in the last 30 years. I mean, what they're doing is just absolutely bananas. Is that a game we should be watching tightly come Monday?
Yeah, I'd say definitely. I mean, 5.5-point favorites, the 49ers are. And to me, they're the best team in the NFL right now, hands down. I mean, it's hard to stop them anywhere. I mean, you've got Nick Bosa and Chase Young on the edge. You've got Fred Warner at linebacker. You've got Tre'Davious Ward at cornerback. And on the offensive side of the ball, Brock Purdy's probably going to win MVP, throwing the ball to McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel. Yeah, I fully expect the 49ers to win that game. And it's important that they win that game too, because the Dolphins would certainly have to run the table to have any shot of getting the one seed if they don't.
yeah, Mike McDaniel's got to be calling up Kyle Shanahan and trying to, maybe send him a Christmas present or an edible arrangement or something to get them out there and make sure they take care of business. But I saw that it was a primetime game, and I just got excited because I know we're battling the Baltimore Ravens. I know every time we seem to make the playoffs over these last, 20, 30 years, they seem to be the team that bounces us out of it. But that's a fun team to watch. So that's a battle that maybe we could potentially see down the line, but hopefully San Francisco takes care of business. Dolphins take care of business. And then we're sitting here, maybe next week talking about potentially going after the AFC East and the number one spot as well in the AFC. And that's just, again, can't believe we're in that situation right now in this part of the season.
Definitely don't want to put the cart before the horse here, but just one final note, the NFL did announce that they will not be moving next Sunday's game between Baltimore and Miami. It will remain a 1 o'clock game. And that also means it'll be a short week for Baltimore. So that's a nice little bonus there too. As you're trying to look for any edge late in the season, especially against a team in your own conference. Let's get into it, gentlemen. The Miami Dolphins were without a handful of offensive linemen last week. They were without Tyreek Hill last week, but all signs point to Hill's return. Offensive lineman, it's still a little questionable. It looks like Robert Hunt will be out. It looks like Austin Jackson's really iffy. It's a crazy scenario when Teron Armstead is your healthiest starting offensive lineman. So, gentlemen, how are we feeling about this Miami Dolphins offense? That it might be hard to believe, but I promise, they are getting slightly healthier.
They are. And, Austin Jackson and Robert Hunt did not practice at the time we're recording this here. But, Robert Hunt is somebody who's been week to week for a while now with that hammy injury. And it's unlike other injuries because it's not like a pain tolerance thing with Robert Hunt in the hamstring. If the hammy is given out on you, if you ever had a hamstring injury, if that's given out on you, you can't lift your leg. You can't drive. You can't do anything. So if I were a betting man, I would say that he's out at least another week. Austin Jackson, if he doesn't play this week, I don't see a real big drop off pass protection wise from he and to Kendall Lamb. You could even possibly make the argument that just purely in pass protection, Kendall Lamb is as good or better than Austin Jackson right now. Not by much, but and that's a huge matchup because whoever the right tackle is going to go up against Micah Parsons. And he is the best in the NFL at abusing right tackles. Just last week, the Cowboys game, Josh Allen only drops back 21 times, but Micah Parsons didn't have a sack, but he had 7 pressures and 21 dropbacks. So he's somebody that you can expect. He is one of the few players in the NFL as a pass rusher. You can expect that he's going to be in your face. Now, the positive side of that is when you take a look at who the Dolphins have played this year, who have had dominant pass rushers, Max Crosby, we didn't hear much in the Raiders game from him. Matt Judon, he had 1 sack in the Patriots game early in the year, but other than that, nothing. So the Dolphins have done a really good job of neutralizing teams who have just 1 dominant pass rusher.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Josh, do you think when you have these injuries, is it a Durham-Smythe game you feel?
I mean, I feel like it. Micah Parsons is without question the best defensive player in football, right? I mean, so you have to figure out a way to stop him. You mentioned not that crazy of a drop off, I guess, between Austin Jackson and Kendall Lamb, but I think either of those guys would have a hell of a time when it's Micah Parsons. So you're absolutely right, man. They did a very good job earlier in the year against some of the more elite pass rushers, but this matchup to me is an absolute, completely different monster than what they've seen. So yeah, if you got to use Durham Smythe, I'm all for that. You guys were talking about the offensive line. Barry Jackson said the only starter that might be available again is Teron Armstead. So that would mean it would be right next to him would be Lester Cotton, Liam Eichenberg at center, Robert Jones, and Kendall Lamb. So that's looking like our starting lineup against, again, a very solid pass rush that the Dolphins might have some issues with. So that's definitely a matchup I'm intrigued by. I'm kind of upset Austin Jackson is not going to be in this one because I was interested to see a way matched up against, again, an elite pass rusher, if not the most elite.
So what's Mike McDaniel's process this week? I mean, James Cook last week went absolutely ballistic. 179 yards. That's 7.2 yards per carry against the Dallas Cowboys. This is a Dallas Cowboys team that is 0-3 on the road against teams that are above 500. How does it feel, Dallas Cowboys fans? How does it feel? And then you have a Dolphins team, though. We know how good they are at running the football. So you instantly go, okay, the Dolphins are going to run the football. And then you get into this weird Princess Bride loop because you think, no, the Cowboys think the Dolphins are going to run the football and they have Tyreek Hill back. So instead, they're going to run the foot, or they're going to pass the football. See, I'm already lost in the loop. Kat, help me out here. What is Mike McDaniel doing? What is he thinking as we get closer to Sunday?
Keep running the ball. I mean, look, keep running the ball and go off that, because when you do that, you take pressure off of the offensive line that Josh was talking about. I mean, they're, look, they've got a lot of injuries, but if you keep running the ball downhill and then work off play action, that's been the Dolphins' golden ticket. And it's not only that, but it's also helped them minimize mistakes in the last game too. And when you look at the Cowboys defensively, you know, they hadn't allowed a 100-yard rusher all year, and then James Cook absolutely goes off on them, 25 carries, 179 yards. You know, the Cowboys couldn't do anything in run defense. And, you know, if the Dolphins can stress that run defense again, just like the Bills did, where they're paying attention to the pass, that's going to be huge for them. Because, I mean, look, they don't have Leighton Vander Esch, a linebacker. He's out for the year. He's been out since the beginning of the year. They drafted Mozzie Smith in the first round. He really hasn't been a factor. Had their lone sack in the last game, but really hasn't been that factor against the run. So, you know, and a linebacker, they, the last time I checked, have three active off-ball linebackers even on their roster. So if the Dolphins can continue to plug away and run the ball downhill against them and then work off play action, I think that's the best way to go, as opposed to, you know, having Tua drop back 40 times.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly how I'd attack them, right? Come out and run the football, run it down their throat, continue to, like you mentioned, you know, give that offensive line not only confidence, but make the Dallas Cowboys defense stay honest. You had said 179 yards for James Cook. It was 266 total yards. I don't know if Jake probably said that. Most had two touchdowns last week. We know he broke the record. I think Achane practiced today, so he'll be back out there. Dolphins are averaging 5.1 yards per carry. That's first in the league, and 139.6 yards per game on the ground. So I'm with you guys. I think we need to run the football. But doesn't that make you a little bit squirmish and think that maybe Mike McDaniel, like Jake said, might, you know, big brain a little bit and maybe come out here and try to, you know, okay, Tyreek's healthy. Let's give him some bubble screens early in this game. Let's get that passing game going, because why else? But, yeah, I think we run the football, and that'll be the right way to start against, again, a good Cowboys defense.
I'll tell you what I loved last week is the Dolphins, they get to the three-yard line. They run the ball with Mostert. He gets stopped. They run it again with Mostert. He gets stopped. And I think, oh, there's no way they're not going to pass the ball in this. They run it again. He gets in the end zone. Like, stay with it on the ground. And like you said, Josh, I think that's what they're going to do.
And you heard it, McDaniel, during Hard Knocks. I think he even was saying to himself, and I'm going to run it again here and different things like that. No, I'm just curious, because I think it was the Seattle game. It was like the third play of the game where Dallas, I think, Dan Quinn is an absolutely outstanding defensive coordinator. And I think this is a team that's going to enter knowing that, hey, we struggle against the run. Jonathan Hankins is another player in the middle of that defense who I do not think is going to be there, a defensive tackle. So I'm curious, because it was like the third play of the game, DK Metcalf went 70 yards to the house against the Cowboys to begin the game, where I do think McDaniel, if we go back to these one play drives that he likes to predict all of a sudden, I do think early in this game, there is going to be that opportunity to smoke the Dallas Cowboys early, get that one big haymaker. And I think what makes the Cowboys so successful is because they have an outstanding offense, and then they have a pass rush that can feed off of that. So as the Cowboys start putting up points, opposing offenses aren't going to run the football because they have to keep up. If you can come out and punch them early, maybe with that one big playmaker, like a, hey, welcome back, Tyreek Hill, that type of situation. I'm curious to see if you could put the Cowboys in the box, but also at the same time, I'm very well aware that that one play, that could be that one play drive, could be a pick six going the other direction.
Yeah, they lost Trayvon Diggs for the year early in the season, and he's somebody that I, you know, he made the Pro Bowl last year. Unbelievable amount of interceptions in his career. But he's also somebody that, despite the amount of interceptions he's had, is also someone too that's given up an unbelievable amount of yardage. So he goes down for the year. They put Deron Bland in, and he's the exact same player, where he's got seven interceptions and set the league record for five pick sixes, you know, 5 weeks before the season ends. But he's kind of the same player, where he's very feast or famine. So that's going to be a fascinating matchup, with Stephon Gilmore and Deron Bland going up against Jaylen Waddle. and a Tyreek Hill, where who's going to be, out of those matchups, who's going to make the most plays?
I'm just laughing because what was his name? Was it Sammy Parker, Jake, that I was telling you about? We were talking about how Shannon Sharpe was sitting there ragging on Tua Tagovailoa, and they asked him, like, name any guy that he was throwing to him. What was it, 2020? And he said Sammy Parker or something like that. I remember days of Sammy Parker, or a.k.a. Devontae Parker, absolutely putting Stephon Gilmore in a blender. But so it's absolutely an interesting matchup. You mentioned Darren Bland. I mean, and Jake, you pick six. I mean, is that not just our biggest fear and just something that – you almost, I mean, we all love Tua Tagovailoa, but we've almost come to expect one of those, you know, a ball right into a linebacker or cornerback's chest at least once every three games. So I could see Darren Bland maybe getting his, what you said he had five. This would be a sick then, but yeah. I don't want to speak that into existence. He's going to get carved up. Tyreek Hill's going to
put him
in a blender. And Stephon Gilmore's going to put in a blender. No, I'm changing what I'm saying.
I think this could be a big game for Achane. There's something to the point of playing against a team in the opposite conference, and there's something on top of that of playing them on the road. If you kind of power rank every game in a 17-game schedule, these are the games the lowest that'd be on the bottom of the list, right? When you're thinking about who you can lose against. So I'm wondering if they could find a scenario early on where you put Achane out on the field, and this could be a game for him where the Cowboys aren't used to maybe seeing that much speed at once, where you can kind of catch them off guard with a couple big plays there, especially with that wide zone scheme.
Yeah, you're right. And every opponent that the Dolphins face is not used to seeing four guys on the field at the same time with the speed of Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Devon Achane, and Raheem Mostert. And that is, you know, Dolphins have two significant advantages on both sides of the ball here as we go into these three games. You're not going to see the speed that the Dolphins bring on offense. And then defensively, you're not going to see a defensive back group as talented as the Miami Dolphins when they are healthy. And it looks like they're going to get Xavier Howard, Javon Holland, and Deshaun Elliott back in this game.
Let's take one quick little break here. On the other side, we'll dive into the Dallas offense versus the Miami Dolphins defense. So stay tuned. After watching Goose Eggs by the New York Jets offense against the Miami Dolphins defense, I'm so interested what Vic Fangio has in store. I think one of the most interesting developments of last Sunday's game against the Jets, we had Jalen Ramsey traveling with Garrett Wilson for most of the game, and it paid dividends. We didn't hear his name once, maybe once, a 7-yard completion here or there. But gentlemen, Xavier Howard looks like he's going to be good to go. It looks like the entire secondary, Deshaun Elliott's close to coming out of concussion protocol. He is practicing without the red pinion. Javon Holland's out there. Is this another scenario, even though you're at full strength, CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Ramsey, is that going to decide this matchup?
Yes, I think that's the most important matchup in this game here. And it was a great development to see the Dolphins doing that last game. And because, you know, in previous weeks, yeah, Jalen Ramsey wasn't traveling with the best receiver, but they were, hey, overall, if you take out the last 3 minutes of the Titans game, since Ramsey's come back, they've been phenomenal on defense. So if it's not broke, don't fix it. But it was clear last week the Jets had one weapon, and that was Garrett Wilson. Their number two, their second best receiver was Tyler Conklin, a 500-yard tight end. Now you take a look at this week, you know, Jalen Ramsey can play in the slot. He can play outside. And CeeDee Lamb is going to test both of those areas. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. So it's going to be a phenomenal matchup here. And the Dolphins would be crazy not to do that again. CeeDee Lamb has almost 1,400 yards on the year. And their second receiver, kind of like with the Jets last week, is Jake Ferguson at 614 yards. So, yeah, if Jalen Ramsey can get the better of CeeDee Lamb, and then you leave the rest of the Cowboys receivers trying to beat the Xavier Howards and the Javon Hollands, that's a major matchup problem for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see that. That's exactly what we wanted to see, right? I mean, even when we originally signed Jalen Ramsey, we thought maybe at the beginning of the year we'd see more of that, him shadowing their number one receiver. I like how you mentioned he plays in the slot in the outside, because I looked it up and Pro Football Focus says he played actually more in the slot this season, 326 snaps, opposed to 233 on the outside. So I guess my original thought was maybe the Dolphins, Yeah, I'm trying to get better. But we know Xavier Howard, that was kind of the reason, at least it sounded like, from Vic Fangio and Jalen Ramsey as to why he shadowed Garrett Wilson. But honestly, I'm not buying that. I think even today, Vic Fangio mentioned about how that matchup would be something I'd be worth watching, sitting at home on the couch, you know, eating popcorn, CeeDee Lamb versus Jalen Ramsey, if that is what happens. So that's how I would approach this. I could also see them going back to their old ways and maybe letting Xavier Howard stay on one side, but you got Jalen Ramsey, you got Xavier Howard, he'll be going against. You mentioned Jake Ferguson being one of their targets. They also have Brandon Cooks, who it seems like he's been around forever, right? I mean, this dude's been traded to all these different teams. Somehow, you know, in fantasy value anyway, has been a pretty solid guy. 41 catches this year, 544 yards and 5 touchdowns. So, like Kat said, you got Jalen Ramsey versus CeeDee Lamb, Xavier Howard maybe against Cooks. I mean, you got to like your matchup there, especially with, you know, their offensive line being banged up. I had to run away from the kids, but one of the matchups I was really stoked about was Tyron Smith, and we're not going to see him and Bradley Chubb this week, or we could, I guess, but he did show up on the injury report today.
Yeah, he's been dealing with a back injury. Both him and Zach Martin, I think, are questionable for the game, and I think even Tyron Smith, it's starting to lean likely that he will not play. Before we kind of get into the trenches, though, Kat, I'm just curious because, you know, Vic Fangio, I mean, we don't have to say this. This is a football genius. He knows more football than I'll ever know. What can Miami Dolphins defense do if they do keep Ramsey on one side and Howard on the other? If they were to kind of shadow him with someone like Ramsey, how would that change how the Dolphins focus with their defense? Maybe does it mess up how the zones are operating or anything like that, where they, if they see Ramsey shadowing CeeDee Lamb, can you form some sort of mismatch elsewhere on the field where maybe you got Cooks open deep or any other dominoes falling like that?
Yeah, I mean, other than CeeDee Lamb, I hope these words don't come back to hurt me, but there's not a lot else on the Cowboys offense that scares me all that much. I mean, Tony Pollard is a good running back, a good two-way back, you know, averaging 4.1 yards a carry this year, perfectly fine, has over 1,100 total yards, but he's not breaking off the big runs like he has in previous years. And Brandon Cooks, believe it or not, is in his 10th NFL season, and his best days are a little bit behind him. And Michael Gallup's always been a possession receiver. So, you know, if the Dolphins are able to create pressure on Dak Prescott, that's the key to everything in this game. And it's massive that Zach Martin and Tyron Smith did not practice today. And if they don't play in this game, that completely takes these matchups and turns them on their head. I mean, Tyron Smith and Zach Martin, if they never played a down of football again, they'd be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, and they're still two of the best players at their position. So if you substitute them out, major problems for the Cowboys, especially in Miami going up against this Dolphins pass rush.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. And I mean, if you're a Cowboys fan, you're probably sitting there feeling a little bit sorry for yourself. Okay, if those guys can't go. But again, we just listed off that we might be without our 4 starting offensive linemen. You mentioned getting pressure. I believe the Buffalo Bills sacked him. Dak Prescott 3 times last week, only held him to 134 yards and an interception. I think, like you said, the pressuring him, getting to him is going to be key. Dolphins had 6 sacks last week, 48 this season. So, yeah, I mean, you lock down CeeDee Lamb, you pressure Dak Prescott, you force him to make mistakes, and just hope that comment from Kat, I think you said Tony Pollard, you know, he hasn't been himself, and he hasn't. I mean, people were so high on him in fantasy, but you could just see the Dolphins letting this be his legacy game or some crazy shit like that.
Miami ranks 2nd in sacks, their 1st in quarterback hits. That's all Jalen Phillips being out of the lineup. So how are the Dolphins really developing this pressure, Kat? I don't like to word it this way, but Andrew Van Ginkle isn't going to keep people up at night. When he has the blood running down his face from a broken nose, maybe. But when you're looking at this defense, it's Bradley Chubb, it's Zach Sealer, and it's Christian Wilkins, a.k.a. Salt and Pepper. What makes this pass rush with those guys two in the middle especially so unique?
Yeah, I don't get all into the hard knock stuff, but Salt and Pepper kind of tugged at my heartstrings there a lot. I mean, you're talking about two guys who look, if you take the top 5 interior defensive linemen in the NFL as far as sacks, you've got Zach Sealer and Christian Wilkins in the top 4 with 8 sacks and 7.5. I mean, and I don't think either one had a sack in the first 2 or 3 games. So they've created a lot of pressure here, and not only are they able to push the pocket, but they also really allow the Dolphins, you know, and at linebacker and defensive back to drop a little bit more because they're creating that pressure. And if you want to run the ball against the Dolphins unexpectedly, they're able to hold the ground, their ground as well. So that'll be a fascinating matchup inside with the Cowboys. If Zach Martin doesn't play, you should see TJ Bass, an undrafted free agent out of Oregon who did okay last week, but he's no Zach Martin. And then at left guard, you've got Tyler Smith, who was their first round pick a couple of years ago, who's been fantastic for them. But I can't emphasize enough, Tyron Smith and Zach Martin, them being out, takes the Cowboys offensive line from an A down to a C. And that makes a major difference in this game.
Yeah, I think even last week, though, you know, Jake asked, you know, how they're getting some of that pressure. I think we saw Vic Fangio maybe blitzing a little bit more and sending the pressure. So I would just keep the pedal to the metal. You mentioned the Dolphins being able to stop the run. I've written down their fourth in rush yards per game, and they've allowed 81.3 yards over the last three games. So that run defense has gotten very good. I mean, I like the way the Dolphins match up with this. I guess the only thing that's keeping me a little bit hesitant to sit here and get real cocky is just that's so Dolphins in the back of my head. So I love the way this game matches up, and I'm hoping to see the Dolphins pass rush absolutely feast against Dak Prescott.
The one matchup we haven't mentioned yet, and Tony Pollard, Rico Dowdle versus Miami Dolphins linebacking group. I like Miami's chances when they're going to try to run the football, but how do we feel about them defending those dump off passes, especially when this is a defense that wants to get its hair going on fire, maybe being a little too aggressive here and Pollard makes it pay or something like that.
Tony Pollard has 51 catches this year and doesn't even have 300 yards receiving. 51 catches, 290 yards. I ain't scared.
Sounds like he breaks tackles like Mike Gesicki. That's some Mike Gesicki tackle breaking.
I think we're about a couple weeks away from Jerome Baker, but you got to be real happy that what Duke Riley's been able to do, what David Long is doing against the run overall. What a very, very impressive group. This Miami Dolphins defense in general is turning into. It's absolutely awesome how I can go on to Pro Football Focus and you see the Miami Dolphins. They're the second ranked offense and the second ranked defense. Those are things you really, really shouldn't overlook. It's been an absolutely awesome way to see this defense really develop and start.
Hold on there, Jake. My time's a little bit limited. So let me straight up. Would you take Duke Riley over Jerome Baker?
Is the salary in there?
Because if salary's in there, Jerome Baker gets cut, and you resign Duke Riley for a few million.
I'd still have to sleep on it, probably. That's probably an issue.
I do, too, because I thought Baker was having probably his best overall season. But then he goes down, and I feel like Duke Riley's played better. But then again, you've got weaker opponents in there. I don't know. I just it's something to look out for in the last couple of games.
That's kind of what you want, though, right? If you're paying so much for Bradley Chubb, you're paying so much for Jalen Ramsey, you want to see these guys kind of come at Kader Kohou, the perfect example of, like, you see these guys misses that maybe had them being backups before, different things like that. Before we get out of here, though, Kat, I gotta ask, how confident are you entering this weekend? What's that final score prediction? You gotta be feeling better after last week.
Oh, definitely. And you know, I go back to the Chiefs game what day was that? Was that October 1st? No, November 1st. And that was the game that I had circled, and that if the Dolphins don't win that game, you're not going to have another opportunity to beat a good team until you play the Dallas Cowboys on New Year's Eve. And they didn't win that game. And now I still am hoping that the Dolphins have that salty taste in their mouth, that they're still being talked about as a team that has not been able to beat a quality opponent this year, because they haven't, but they also haven't had the opportunity to. So I look at the matchups. I really like what the Dolphins are able to bring here. From a pass rushing perspective, I like that Jalen Ramsey showed the ability to go up against really erase the opponent's leading receiver, like he did last week with Garrett Wilson. So I see this being a Dolphins victory here. I'm going to go 27-20 Dolphins.
Good luck following that up,
Josh. I just said damn.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. Well, Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to. I mean, I'm with you. I don't know that my confidence is very high because, again, I just always have that lingering thing in my back of my head that prevents me from truly believing. But this is a huge matchup. I want the Dolphins to go out there and prove to us that this isn't the same team. I want Tua Tagovailoa to shut up all the haters, even if he says he isn't listening to them, and to prove that he's, you know, that guy that can go out there and beat a winning football team, right? I mean, I think the Cowboys haven't beat a team with a winning record on the road. The Dolphins have not beat one all year. So something has to give. Obviously, I'm a Dolphins homer. I think the Dolphins match up well, like Kat said, and I think they're going to win this one. He said 27-20. I have written down 27-17, so I feel like I'm piggybacking that a little bit, but I actually wrote an answer down. So 27-17 Dolphins. We win this one. We get a playoff spot, and we can all at least breathe a little bit easier as we look forward to that Baltimore Ravens matchup that, like Jake said, is not going to be on primetime.
Enjoy Christmas a little bit more, right? Right. Sit back a little bit, breathe a little bit better. Let's go 30-16. I think the Dolphins win this game in the red zone. The difference between McDaniel and McCarthy is just that ability to hit those home run plays. And for McDaniel, that's about running the football. Guys, this was a blast. Thank you so much, Josh. I'm throwing my phone. That's how happy I am. Thank you so much, Kat. Thank you all so much for listening to another Dolphins podcast Tuesday morning. We are thinking Tuesday morning for a recap pod for hopefully another Miami Dolphins victory. But go enjoy the holiday, most importantly, and it's